We began trying to study earlier about the difference in walking in darkness and walking into the darkness. The Word of God commands the people of God that we are not to walk in darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's talking about walking in sin, walking contrary to God's word and God's way. Now, the people of God are commanded to walk into darkness. That is, we're to charge forward as soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are to fight against darkness. As soon as we got in the car to go home today, there was a song on the radio that said, "Keep on pushing back the dark. Keep on pushing back the dark." If you haven't heard it, I encourage you to listen to it. It's an important truth. There is an important truth in us as the people of God, keeping on pushing back the dark. The reason that darkness, the reason that sin is overtaking America today is because we've compromised with darkness. We've stopped pushing back the darkness. The darkness has begun to encroach upon the Church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, our nation. It's taken over our nation primarily because the children of God have been afraid to march forward and to push back the darkness. We've been afraid to walk into the darkness. And so I pray that God will help us as we think about, we'll begin tonight, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus chose the 12 apostles, and as Jesus chose the 12 apostles, He sent them out, and He was sending them into a dark world. He told them that somewhere that they would go, some places that they would go, that the people would not receive what they preach. The people would hate them in some places, and when you go into a city and they will not receive you, and they will not receive My word, then you're to shake the dust off your feet and go to another city. But in all of the work that the apostles were doing as they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were walking into the darkness with the glorious light of the gospel. And the whole function and purpose of that was to spread the light of God. Another song that we sang earlier tonight, Sister Janice asked, we sang "Sunlight, Sunlight in My Soul Today." While walking, brethren, when we're walking in the light of God, we have sunlight in our soul, even while we're walking into the darkness, and we're going forward doing the things that God would command us to do. We ought not to be afraid because Christ is with us. And so in Matthew chapter 10, when He sent out the apostles, Matthew 10 and verse 16, the Word of God says, "Behold," this is what Jesus said to His apostles. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Now, do you think that there was a reason from a natural standpoint? Do you think there was a reason for the apostles to be afraid as they went about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Was there a natural reason to be afraid? There was, because Christians were being killed. So He said, "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up in the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." Verse 21 and 22 says, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for My name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now, all of this hatred of the apostles, it was all because of the message that they were preaching. It was because they were carrying forth the glorious light of the gospel. And the Word of God tells us in John chapter 3, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. And so when you begin to preach the gospel of Christ, and you begin to try to get people, as they all preached from John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles, the 70 disciples, every preacher in the New Testament, they all were going about preaching, saying, repent, that means turn away from your sinful ways, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what they were preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were walking into darkness. They were walking into cities and people's lives where they were living ungodly, and they were saying, repent. Just as surely as Jonah went into Nineveh and walked into darkness there, and yet God brought about a great repentance there, you and I as the people of God, just like these apostles, God has called us to be pushing back the dark, to walk into the darkness, to stand up against ungodliness. Come down to verse 28. It says this. Well, let me stop in 24 and 25. We're still in Matthew 10, 24 and 25. The disciple is not above his master. I'm going to ask you again. Did Jesus leave the portals of glory? Did he leave the city of light? Did he leave the presence of the Father and come down into a dark, dark world? He did. And as he came into this world, he was walking into darkness. So he set the example for us. He showed us how to live. If we're going to be followers of Christ, we have to leave the comfort and the pleasures and the joys of just dwelling in the church, and we have to march out into the world and walk into the darkness. Every one of us, I thank God we can come into the house of God and worship God. But listen, brethren, if all we're doing is coming and worshiping God, we're failing in our responsibility as Christians. We're supposed to be walking into the darkness. When you go to work tomorrow, you better be walking into the darkness. All of you young people, when you go to school, you better be walking into the darkness. But as you walk into the darkness, you better be looking to Jesus, the light of the world. Because if you walk into the darkness without Jesus by your side, you're going to be walking in darkness. You're going to stumble and fail and fall. So we need Jesus. We cannot walk into the darkness and accomplish what God has called us to do as we walk into the darkness. We cannot accomplish that unless Jesus helps us. We are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. Come down now to verse 24, Matthew 10, 24. Jesus says to his disciples, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. In other words, if Jesus left that glory world, if he left that perfect place called eternal heaven, if he left that to come down into this world and to walk into darkness, the servant is not better than his Lord. If Jesus did it, you're not too good to do it too. Says in verse 25, it is enough for the disciple that he as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Listen, brethren, if you walk into the darkness, if you follow Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple of Jesus, they're going to hate you just like they hated Jesus. That's everything Jesus is telling them here. He's explaining to his disciples, it's a world that hates God, and it hates Jesus, and it hates every disciple of Jesus Christ. If it called Jesus Beelzebub, how much more will it call you evil things if you walk into the darkness? Come down to verse 20. Well, come to 28, and fear not. How many of you, I'm going to first ask just the children to raise your hand. How many of you children, if at midnight your parents said, I want you to walk out into the woods out there, and I want you to go at least 100 yards into the woods and bring me a stick out there? How many of you children would have some fear to walk out into the woods tonight at midnight? Okay, several would be. In fact, most adults would probably be afraid to do the same thing. I want you to understand Jesus knew that he was calling on you and me to do something that we would naturally be afraid. It's a fearful thing to walk into the darkness as Jesus has called us to do. And so Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, "And fear not them which kill the body." In other words, as you're walking into the darkness and those people hate you and despise you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, as they hate you, he says, don't be afraid of them. If they threaten to put you in prison, don't be afraid of them. If they threaten to kill you, don't be afraid of them. Fear not. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 31 says, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows." You, let me say to all of you tonight, just as these 12 apostles were sent out into the darkness, you're sent out into the darkness. And just as Jesus promised that he would be with them, Jesus has promised that he will be with you. And as you go out, he's saying to us, do not be afraid. Now, I mentioned walking into that room the other day, and it was dark, and I came back out of that room. It's only after you keep going into the darkness, walking into the darkness, looking to Jesus, that you're going to eventually reach a point where you're not afraid to walk into the darkness. But to begin with, you're going to be afraid. And so it takes a lot of faith to walk into the darkness when God has called you to go into the darkness. And there will be sometimes, even after a long period of time, where you have reached that point where you're no longer afraid, God's going to call on you to do something more difficult, and you're going to be afraid again. But he'll give you those seasons where you walk into the darkness and you know that he's going to be with you, and so you have peace and you get confidence. And as your confidence builds, so often your confidence becomes self-confidence rather than confidence in Jesus. And so then Jesus will call on you to do something that's so difficult that you'll be shaking and you'll say, "Lord, I can't go do that without your help." Yes, that's right, child. That's the way it's been all along. You needed my help all the time, but you forgot how much you needed me. Have you ever forgotten how much you needed Jesus? Have you ever forgotten how weak and frail you are without Jesus? Well, listen, brethren, when it gets dark, you're going to be afraid sometimes. But I pray that God will help you not to be afraid, because you are precious to God. Little sparrows, little birds are important to God. Isn't that amazing? God feeds the birds. God feeds the birds. And you are of more value than many sparrows. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. And now he has quickened you and he's called you to walk into the darkness. And he said, "I will be with you." You remember after the resurrection of Jesus, one of the last things he said to his apostles and disciples was, "Lo, I will be with you always." He will always be with us. Go to Acts chapter 9. There's another apostle here. We're looking at the 12 apostles here in Matthew chapter 10. But there's another apostle that was chosen after these apostles. That was the apostle whose name was Saul. And I want us to look at him as Saul first. Now, Saul had a lot of boldness. Saul of Tarsus was not afraid. Saul of Tarsus wielded great power and authority. Saul of Tarsus went about killing Christians. And there were a lot of Christians that were afraid to walk into the darkness because of this man whose name was Saul of Tarsus. And so there were a lot of Christians that backed up in their service and they stopped confessing Christ because of Saul of Tarsus. And then God came to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus as he was going to kill more Christians. God came to him. And listen, in Acts chapter 9, listen to what happened when God came to Saul of Tarsus. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 3. "And as he sojourned," that's as Saul of Tarsus sojourned, "he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." Oh, this is going to be a good time, isn't it? Oh, it's going to be the light of Jesus shining. Problem is, Saul was so wicked and desperate and despised that this light did not bring joy to his life, but this light brought fear. And he fell to the earth. Verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, that is Saul of Tarsus, trembling and astonished. Had he been afraid before this? He had not been afraid before this, but now he's afraid. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Listen carefully now. 7:7, 8, and 9. And the men which journeyed with him, that is with Saul of Tarsus, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. Now, brethren, his eyes were open, but he saw no man. Remember that. But they led him by the hand. Now, he was blind. His eyelids were opened, but he was blind. Do you know why he shut his eyes to begin with? It was because the light of God shined so brightly that he couldn't stand the light of God, so he shut his eyes. And then after Jesus told him to arise and go into that city and go down the street called Straight and go to the house where prayer was going to be made, as he arose, he opened his eyes and he saw no man. He was blind. Watch this. Verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He was blind for 3 days. Does everybody see that? And you know what God's going to call on him to do now? He's going to call him to go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to call him while he is blind. He's going to say, now you go walk into the darkness. And as he bowed submissive to the will of God and was ready to go and preach the gospel, come down to verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And verse 20 says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now this is the man who had been despising Christ and despising Christianity. You know what he's doing when he goes into those synagogues now? He is walking into the darkness. He is walking into the darkness, number one, because in the synagogues they had no spiritual light. They needed truth. And so he was walking into those places of darkness where they did not understand truth and they did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. He was walking into those places that were ignorant of the truth that Jesus is the Christ. And he walked into that darkness and declared, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if you had been a Jew, how would you have felt towards Saul of Tarsus? I'd have hated him. I would have hated him. And you would have too if you had been a devout Jew in the Jews' religion. He's trying to destroy everything that was taught in the synagogue. And so now he's preaching in the synagogue that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's walked into the darkness, not only the darkness of ignorance, but he's walked into a darkness where they hated him. The Jews hated him. The Gentiles were afraid of him. They all would have been desiring to see him dead. Saul of Tarsus, when he received his sight, he walked into the darkness. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Now please, in Philippians chapter 2, you're going to have to give me a little liberty, a little leeway here, because this is one of the passages that I feel like that is 100% applicable to what we're talking about. And yet I'd never seen it exactly the way I see it now. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. I want you to listen carefully now. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12, the Word of God says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you hear the wording there? work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you did not know about that room that I was telling you about, if I took Bryson out there yesterday to that room that you walked into and it was dark, and I said, I want you to go into that room and I'm going to close this door, how would you have felt, Bryson, yesterday? Scared, sure. Walker, how would you have felt? Scared, sure. Now, it would not do you a lot of good for me to say, just walk on in there, eventually the light will come on. Now, if you've got complete confidence in me, you might believe me. But I'm telling you, you have to work out your own salvation. And I can tell you all I want to, that if you walk into the darkness, that Jesus will be there to help you and the light will shine. But you cannot know what that's teaching until you walk into the darkness and you work out your own salvation. And when you walk into the darkness, you notice the last wording of verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are you going to be afraid when you walk into the darkness? You're going to be afraid. Now I want you to come down to verse 15 for the sake of time. He tells you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And let me ask you, what is the salvation? The salvation is that when you walk into this darkness, when you face opposition, when you stand against the devil and his enemies, when you do that, and then Jesus shines upon you, you just got saved. You just were saved from fear, and you begin to learn, when I stand where I ought to stand, Jesus is going to help me. And that's how you work out your own salvation. I can tell you how to do it. I can tell you I've done it. I can tell you all kinds of things, but me telling you about it is not going to help you at all. Not much. Let me rephrase that. It's not going to help you much. What will help you is the first time that you walk into the darkness, and by faith you walk on into that darkness, and by faith you trust in God, and then God shines His light upon you, and you find the peace that passeth all understanding. You find the strength that God has promised that He'll give you. You find everything you need when you're willing, by the grace of God, to walk into the darkness. And so He says in verse 15, after He's told you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, He says in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, brethren, the only time that you're going to be shining as lights in the world is when you work out your own salvation. The only time you're going to be, and this is a salvation here in this world, I'm not talking about going to heaven when you die. I'm talking about being saved from fear. I'm not afraid. You can be like Peter after the resurrection, when he had been begotten again unto a lively hope, and then Jesus told him to go preach, and he went and he preached without fear. And they threatened him, and he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know what Peter did? He worked out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And he looked to Jesus. When I say work out your own salvation, I'm not telling you you can do it without Jesus, because you cannot do it without Jesus. When I talk about, and the Word of God is talking about, you working out your own salvation and you standing in the midst of this wicked and perverse nation, the Word of God is telling you, you go forward and you do what God's telling you to do, and you will shine as lights in the world. Do you know why you will shine? It's because Jesus is going to shine on you. Shine, Jesus, shine. You know when He will shine the brightest? You know when you will love Jesus the most? You know when you will appreciate Jesus the most? It's when you're walking into the darkness. And the door closes and it's still dark, but you still continue to take a step, and then Jesus shines. Brother Wilbur told me, he told me on the way out of church this morning, he said, I leave a light on in my hallway so I can make it down the hallway to the restroom at night. And he said, and if that light goes out or the door closes, he said, I hold on to the wall all the way down there. Well, listen, brethren, that's the way it is in our lives. Unless you can see Jesus shining, you're going to be groping in the dark. You're going to be groping for something to give you some assurance that you're going in the right direction. You need Jesus every day. When you wake up in the morning, you need to say, "Here I go, walking into the darkness." If you don't realize you're walking into the darkness, you're going to stumble and fall because you are walking into the darkness. In fact, you're going to be walking in darkness if Jesus is not with you. But Jesus has promised, "I will be with you when you look to me and obey me." When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. I want to say to you who are here, I thank God for the way I see you letting your light shine to the honor and glory of God. My heart rejoices. I've told Teresa, I think I'm just getting happier and happier and happier as your pastor, because I just see you shining brighter and brighter. And I pray that God will help us all, that every day, wherever we go, that we will not be afraid, that we'll march forward. You know what it takes for you to walk into the darkness? You know what it takes for you to walk into the darkness? Who said that? What did you say?
Faith.
F-A-I-T-H. Faith. What is faith? Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what's the last two words there? Not seen. Is that walking into the darkness? What does it take to walk into the darkness? Faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because you can't walk into the darkness without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so when you walk into the darkness, you've got to believe he's going to reward me by doing what? Turning on the light. If he doesn't turn on the light, you're going to get real scared real quick. But if you'll walk forward, he'll be with you. When God told Noah, "Build the ark," he was telling him, "Walk into the darkness." When God called Abraham, "Leave your country and your kindred and go to a place I'll show you," he was telling Abraham, "Walk into the darkness. You don't know where you're going. You just walk into the darkness." And he went out looking for a city. He was looking for something. Looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And when God called Moses to leave Pharaoh's house, he forsook everything as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was walking into the darkness. We studied that this morning. Moses was walking into the darkness, but God was with him. One last thing in closing. David said in Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will..." Well, watch the wording there. "Though I walk through the valley..." Does that indicate some darkness there? "Through the valley of the what? Shadow." Do you see some darkness there? "Of death." Do you see some darkness there? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You want to know whether or not I'm a Christian? You watch me when I'm dying. You want to know whether or not I'm a Christian? You watch me while I'm living. Do you understand the point that I'm trying to get across? I'll never walk through the valley of the shadow of death unless I'm willing to walk through the valley of the shadow of death every day. May God help us to walk into the darkness. May God help us to ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured such contradiction of sinners. May God bless us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen.